Blog Talk Radio.
Guest in the studio. She is a very special person to me. Her name is Miss Tiffany Fleming. Before I bring her on, I wanted to open up with, we're talking with Dayami Dela Cruz's best friend, my daughter. And your friend is the person you always go to when things get tough. When I think of my best friends, they are the ones I go to when life gets tough, breakups, divorces, financial troubles, school problems, job problems, illnesses, death, children. When life gets tough, your bestie is often your go-to person. So when that person is gone, you feel especially alone. You feel desperate, lonely, and devastated. And your instinct is to call the one person who was no longer there to support you. Tonight, we will talk to Tiffany Fleming and how she feels with losing her best friend. Miss Tiffany, are you in the studio?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Tell me about, hi, Tiffany. not only is Tiffany my daughter's best friend, Tiffany is like a daughter to me. Well, she is a daughter to me. She was, out of all the people who said that they would be there and you can count on me and I'll be there, Tiffany was one of the ones that was there from the night that she passed. She was there every day, nonstop, calling, making sure I took care of business, that I ate, and I just continued with my daily life. Miss Tiffany, tell me about you. Who is Tiffany Fleming?
Well, Tiffany is an outgoing, funny, and loud person. As y'all met me, that's how Dayami met me, just loud across the street from you guys. And I don't know, I can't say too much about myself. I'm just simple, but I'm weird. It's always good to be weird. You don't want to be like everybody else. That's why I used to tell Dayami, she's weird. She didn't like it, though.
No, she did not. So I'm going to speak for Dayami tonight. I'm not weird.
Right. She didn't like that weird word.
No, she didn't. Tiffany is really selling herself short. Tiffany is a wonderful young lady. She has her view on the world, and she operates that way. Some people don't understand her, but to get to know her, you get to know a jewel. She's a really sweet person. She will have you back. If you
oh,
call us
to make me cry.
Don't cry. She's an incredible mom, incredible girlfriend. Man, there's so many things I can go on and on and on about Miss Tiffany, but I'll toot her horn another day. So, Miss Tiffany, what I was talking about when I opened up the show about the go-to person, I know after Dayami passed, sometimes you would talk to me and you would say, man, she was the person I would call if I was mad, if I needed to do this, if I would, you would need an understanding to find out if you were wrong or right in a certain situation. Would you say that explains your friendship?
Yeah, and it's just like, it really does. It's just like I really don't have nobody to talk to. You, of course, but, you know, it's always different when you're speaking to that person that understands you and understands your personality. Like you said, I'm different. So it's like to know me is to understand me. So for Dayami, she understands me. She knew everything about me. So it's just like I could just say hello and she'd be like, what's wrong? Who did it? Like, she knows me. So it's like not even having to explain the whole situation. And it's like for that person not to be here no more, it's like I'm really just lost. And it's just I'm coping with it, but it's hard. It is. And I feel better when I talk to you. I really do. Like, so I have to talk to you at least one time a day. Or if I skip a day, I have to call you that morning, because if I don't talk to you, that's going to break me, like, you know. So I'm – It's just hard. I'm still trying to. It still just seems not real. Just feel like I ain't talked to her, and that's not like her. So.
No. So I know that you were there. You were on the party bus with her when she was shot. How has this affected you to see your best friend life taken like that?
It was like a. She was shot and I was shot. It was just a big old hole. And not only just thinking about myself, it was how do you tell somebody, mom, that? How do you explain that to her daughter? It's just a big old empty hole in my heart and my stomach. I honestly didn't even want to live after that. And having to go on without her is very, very hard, because she's not here with her daughter. And, like, it is a little guilty feeling, because it's like I'm with my son and she's not with her daughter. Like, I know I don't have anything to do with what went on, but it's just like it just hurts to know that Desi was here and how she was brought in here, and now she has to live without her mother. So it was just like a big old hole in my heart, hole in my stomach, that she had to leave, or, you know, dealing with it in a situation, actually seeing it like that was just really devastating.
So do you think that you have changed some? Do you think you have withdrawn from people? Are you not as close with people as you used to be, or as lively as you used to be? I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, losing Dayami, it really did open my eyes. Just like you said, it opened your eyes on who was there, who wasn't. It opened my eyes on who I can actually count on, or who I can go to talk to, which is nobody. But, like, the Dayami friendship is way different from any other friendship that I've ever had. And it's like, for that to be gone, I feel like I that's a big old loss that I done lost everything. All of that in one person, that's a big old loss. So,
what do you think about Dayami that was
personality? She has too many of them. You would have swore she should have been a Gemini. Because the Cancer don't do no justice for her. I think she should have been a Gemini in the Cancer, because by the Gemini having two different signs and then her Cancer on itself, she's like three different persons. It was definitely her personality and her silliness and her outgoingness and then her positive. You can't forget that. And shoot, her being God-fearing, she really opened my eyes with that, because I ain't gonna lie, it's kind of hard for me to believe in that type of stuff, but her breaking it down and explaining some stuff to me, it really helped. So
it's just wow.
She has a lot to love about her. Like, she really does.
Silly. I've told people about you on my show a few times. When Dayami and Tiffany first came friends, I didn't care for Tiffany. I'm like, what's going on, Dayami? She is loud.
I thought she was gay.
And I'm like, this is where I was judging, and that's where we shouldn't judge our children, truly get to know our children. But as I got to know Tiffany more and more, man, she is truly that diamond in the dirt that you have to wipe away the dirt and see the true value of her. And to see her cope with losing Dayami, I mean, I'm Dayami's mother, so you can imagine daily I miss her, hourly.
Take your time. Okay.
As my daughter would say when we cry, I feel a thug though.
Yeah, we feel some thugs. It's okay. Take your time. Because it's like talking about her, it's very emotional, and it's just like you try to hold it together, but like I told her on the post that I made, she's turning me into an emotional wreck. I can't do that. I can't turn into that.
I guess it's hard to really miss her with all the memories that we all have shared with her.
Man, I got so many happy videos. Just seeing her smile in my phone, it's like that kind of, it kind of warms my heart, but then it's like, dang, I'm not going to never see that again. So it's just like, it's like a bittersweet. It's like I'm happy I have this memory, but then I'm mad because I'm not able to build any more with her. Like, you know?
We have Minister Coach D on here. Coach D, you have any questions?
I do have a question. Hi, ladies. I'm glad to be here on this show. The question I have, and I'm sure that others probably are asking, for both of you, particularly this question is for Minister Tamika. My question would be to you is, I mean, this is very painful, and, you know, it's obvious to be able to tell even in when you're speaking, you know, that is very painful. How have you been able to do this show? What made you do this show? Even though doing this show, I mean, I'm just sure it has to be painful for you every Tuesday. So why would you do this show?
One reason I do this show, I think the only two people who understand what I'm going through is the people that are going through it, the parents that are going through it. There's not too many people you can talk to understand the hurt, the anger, the emptiness. So to be able to do this show and be able to share my pain, my happiness, my strength, it truly helped me to deal with it, and it allows me to cry. I don't know why I can't cry at home. I will not cry, but it gives me the opportunity to really express my feelings and hear what everyone else is going through, particularly Tiffany. We talk a lot, but we never talk about how we're feeling about losing Dayami. I mean, we never talk about that. So I think this is the one opportunity where this is the platform where I get to express my feelings. And those who call in or guests on the show, they get to bring their tools to help deal with the grief.
Amen. Amen. And that's, you know, because I just know, I'm just like, okay, how can she do this show every day? What's the motivation for it? And so you answered that. And if I heard you correctly, is that you feel like if you could be transparent and you're willing to be vulnerable, because you're very vulnerable, that people that's listening in would be able to, in essence, benefit from your vulnerability, you know, because you have to be vulnerable. You're very vulnerable, so it's like the only reward that you could get out of that is that if it could help somebody else be able to get through some of the things that you went through. And I want to now kind of go over to Tiffany as that being your best friend and you being there and seeing everything manifest. Day to day, I'm just trying to see what, you know, day to day, how does that affect you? How does it affect you towards other people? Or do you get offended when people may ask you questions? Because I'm sure you got a lot of questions. You know, did that offend you? Or how did you handle that?
Are you talking about the situation on what happened, those kind of questions,
well,
or just a day-to-day question, people just asking questions?
Well, I'm talking about just, you know, I'm sure because you were her best friend. I'm gonna say you're her best friend, and you were there and you seen things that happened. So you know how you get a lot of people, and people are not sensitive, and a lot of people don't know how to ask the questions, and so they just begin to start asking questions, never really considering how painful they have to be for you. How did you deal with the series of questions that came at you, either during or after? You know, everything that took place.
I mean, honestly, I felt some kind of way about certain people because, you know, everybody wanted to point fingers and this and that, but I had to understand at the same time that it's a very sensitive situation where a lot of people that was asked the questions, they didn't know what went on. Just like, I can barely tell you what's going on, and I'm mad about that because it's like, it happened so instantly. It's like, I was mad at I couldn't explain too much to her mom because, like, she know everybody played a different role on this bus. So, and everybody's story will not be the same because everybody was in different places at this time. So, with people assuming things and making up their own story, it was very hurtful. It was some harsh words said, but at the end of the day, she know what I told her, and I mean. Is either you believe it or not, that's what I can tell you. That's what I know what happened. Like, you know, that's from my point of view. But it was hurtful, but I mean, me being the person I am, I'm not a quitter. So either Tamika would have stayed around or she wouldn't have, I would have pushed myself back in the door. Like, you know, it's a sister situation, like I said. She's very hurt with her daughter, and the guilty feeling with me is so like, dang, I came back and her daughter didn't. So it does give you a little guilty feeling because it's like she said, I don't know what she's going to do. I haven't lost the child. I lost my best friend. She lost her child. So it's like, it is a different feeling. Like I feel like I got a hold of my heart, but she really, you know, is dug deep for her. So, you know, you can only go off of your instinct as a mother. Like, well, forget everybody. You don't know. You don't. You think people is out to get you, but you know, I'm too loyal and everything. But you know, it was a sensitive. I can't say it. Sensitive situation. So it's just. You know,
and I have to intervene right there. It was a very sensitive area, Coach D. You know, finding out like Tiffany says, he came home, my daughter didn't. I did get angry with her, like, why didn't you save her? Why didn't you step in? What? And I had to come to a part that it wasn't Tiffany's fault. You know, it was surely my daughter's time. But, Tiffany went through a lot because a lot of people, you know, would call me and say things. It was Tiffany's fault. It was so many stories. And I had to really get to a point to where I don't care about the stories. All I know is that my daughter's not here. That's the main part.
Amen.
And someone took her life. So Tiffany went, because I think at one while I think I told her I didn't want her to come to the funeral. I was very upset with Tiffany. Don't come to my house. Don't call me. So I went through some of the anger part because it was just so many people talking. So
right,
you know that part where they tell
you. Here, they're there. And most of the people that was telling stories wasn't even there. So Yeah. With that,
that one too.
But it's very crazy. I love Tamika. I love Dayami. She know. So.
That's good. That was a good. I know I'm getting all in y'all's interview, but I'm
no,
trying to. And ladies, yeah, ladies, please forgive me, but for the callers, you know, I'm just trying to ask questions that are hard questions, questions that people may not ask, questions that other people that may be dealing with the same situation or, you know, or similar situations, parents. I'm trying to get provoke certain questions. Because just for the listening audience, because there's a healing that has to take place. And like you said, there was a lot of pain, there was a lot of hurt, there was a lot of questions. You didn't have a bond with Tiffany. Tiffany had a bond with your daughter, but you didn't have a bond with Tiffany. And the first thing to trust in somebody is bonding. So as you guys begin to bond, what happened?
Oh, my God. I would trust Tiffany with my life. I care about Tiffany so much. If something happened to me, my son knows that what's supposed to be done for her as well. Tiffany has showed me, I'm an adult mother. I judged her, and Tiffany showed me that take the time to get to know the person's heart, because her heart is genuine. She didn't purposely hurt my daughter. It's funny that we get to come to this, because what I thought Tiffany was actually my daughter, and Tiffany is the opposite. So developing this bond with Tiffany, and I think we help one another. I help her in areas where I think she don't operate right or do things right. I'm like, hey, let me talk to you as a mother. And she helped to open my eyes up as a mother to my children, not to be so judgmental.
Yes.
Girl,
I had to
swing my hair on that, okay?
Look, you know, there's a scripture, you know, that came to mind as you were saying that, Minister Tamika. The scripture says what the enemy meant for bad, God meant for good. And so, you know, even in this situation, you know, the enemy meant for it to be bad, for you to be angry, for you to point blame. And then God turned it around, and and you guys' relationship, as you begin to bond and you begin to trust her and get to know her, and she was consistent. She was consistent with her love towards you. And most people, you could tell the genuine because of the consistency. When people are not consistent, and she was consistent, like you said, even if you slammed the door, she was there. Even if you said go away, she was there. She didn't stop. Parents, listen, I'm saying there's a parent out there that's listening to the show on tonight that has a loss and maybe a similar situation, and they're brushing away the person, whether it was a boyfriend or just a best friend or whatever, and they're pushing that person away. You are listening in on tonight, not by accident, but by God's design, because you needed to hear that. You needed to possibly hear that, hey, you're going to have to be able to open up a little bit so that you could get a chance to know the person or get a chance to really see the heart of the person so that now you can really begin to heal. Because would you say, Minister, to me, well, even for you, let me go back to our guest. Tiffany, would you say that you and Minister Tamika beginning to bond, would you say that that was a healing for you? Did that help you to begin to heal?
Yeah, it did. It helped me a lot. Like I told her, I'm like, talking to you at least once time a day, that it, you know, it copes with me. Like it I have to talk to her to not break down, like, you know. And sure, even before this happened to Dayami's always telling me, like, you know, you like my mom, like, y'all like, dang, you remind me of my mom, like, but I didn't really see that until me and her mom really had got so close, like, during this time, and we got so close where it was like, I'm stuck to her like I was stuck to Dayami, like, that's why I'm like, I can't sit here and be fake like I wasn't at her mom's house every day, like, when she seen Dayami, she seen me. Sometimes I used to think she was tired of me, but I still came.
I would also say to parents, taking the time to get to, instead of pushing the friends away, the one that you know is a true friend, I got to learn more about, more things about Naomi through Tiffany. I mean, parents, we like to say, oh, I know my kids. I did know a part of my child, but Tiffany definitely knew a whole lot more that I got to know. And that's why I guess I can deal with it, because my daughter lived a, she lived her life. She lived, she loved, she laughed. She truly did. And 28 years, yes, I miss her. Yes, I'm sad. But
Amen. No, that's okay. This is real. For those listening in on tonight, Cheek to Cheek on every Tuesday is a broadcast, and it's meant for support for those who have lost, not just, you know, it is about parents who have lost children, but it's also about the siblings that lost their siblings. It's about spouses who have lost their wife. That person who passed had a parent, but that person who passed didn't just have a parent. They had family. They have friends. And what we're trying to do on this show, what Minister Tamika is trying to do on this show, is be transparent about the pain. Have a place. She's providing you with a platform for you to be able to come in and interact in this broadcast in order for you all to be able to heal. It's about the healing process. And the only way we can heal is to be real with our feelings. We have to be able to acknowledge that there's pain there. We have to be able to acknowledge that there's hurt there. We have to be able to acknowledge, you know, that maybe there's some areas that hasn't been forgiven. But we have to acknowledge that. We got to be real about that. It's almost like an alcoholic. An alcoholic cannot get healed until they admit they're an alcoholic. Same thing with loss and pain and grieving. Unless you're able to come to terms with the feelings and emotions of that and admit you have them, then you can't heal. And so that's what this show is about. So there's going to be moments in the show where Minister Tamika is going to have to step back, and she's going to have to be true to that emotion that she's feeling. And then she could come back. So we just want you to know that this is a real show. You're talking about reality TV. Even reality TV, I believe, has some fakeness to it, or has some, what I would say, pre-planned moments, but this radio broadcast is real. It's unedited. You're getting the true pain of a situation. You're getting the true joy of a situation. You're hearing the realness, and that's what's healing. That's the healing part. Amen.
Amen. I mean, and it's true. Some people think that they don't need anybody. They just need to be by themselves. And I go to I see a therapist for grieving. It is important to surround yourself with people who truly care about you and want the best for you. Tiffany, like you said, we bonded. We're really, really close. Dayami had a few other friends that were on the bus. They make it a point to, you know, check on me, make sure everything, I'm okay. So, and that's important, because not only am I affected, our Tiffany, our Dayami's siblings and her daughter, there are friends that were really close to her that was affected by even seeing what happened on the bus. That had to be horrific. I couldn't, when I try to think about how my daughter died, I can't even allow myself to go that far to think. So just to imagine them being there, seeing that, and if I'm correct, Tiffany, you guys carried her off the bus, correct?
Yes.
So to think about how hands-on they were with her, they seen something that was devastating. So I had to learn to not be selfish with my own hurt and my own grief, to make sure to pray for them as well. Because how do they sleep at night? How are they coping with their day-to-day life? And like Tiffany said, we talk almost every day. Tiffany moved to Las Vegas. So I lost Dayami. I didn't lose Tiffany, but she wasn't at arm's reach. So therefore, I did have to take that time to really get my spiritual muscles together on how to deal with this, because, Coach B, you said I'm vulnerable right now. And sometimes when you're vulnerable, some people try to take advantage of you. So I have to be very cautious with who I do deal with, because I can't afford to be taken advantage of right now. Tiffany, would you agree?
I totally agree with that. You don't want to get caught in the hands of the wrong person in a vulnerable time, especially how comfortable you are in your own place. You know, people have a tendency of taking advantage of that. They really do.
So, you know, and then and to go back to what Coach D was talking about, when, you know, people, you know, people asking you questions, people was trying to say she said things, and I've even heard have somebody tell me that she set this up. It's so overwhelming that you truly, and this is the point I was getting to, Coach D, when I was thinking, when you really have to be in a calm place so you can hear God talk. So even in the midst of something like this, you still have to allow yourself to be able to hear God talk, because the enemy is very, he's there. He talk loud. You can hear him, but you have to be still so you can hear God, so you can know how to walk through this. It's not a cakewalk. This is not easy to get up and smile and be happy. Sometimes I feel guilty about being happy, but I know my daughter, and she would be saying, "Mom, stop worrying. Why are you stressing?" So I hear that, and it allowed me to still deal, you know, do my everyday life. And I do still have two living children, so it wouldn't be fair for me to be down and depressed and focus on my daughter who is not here, because I can't forget the ones that are here, and Tiffany, because I do call Tiffany my daughter, so my three living children. And she has a son. He still asks for Dayami. On a regular, he asks for Dayami. And Tiffany, how did you deal with that?
When he asked for Dayami, I mean, from the last time he seen her, because I think he viewed her with his dad, but I couldn't go through it. But he just knows that she's asleep. I'm like, she's asleep. She's happy, Papa. She's asleep. Like, you know, and when he catches himself asking about her, he'd be like, "Mom, where Dayami at? She's asleep, Mom." Like, you know. And I'm like, "Yeah, Papa, you know, she love you," and this and that. And it's just like, to think about my baby asking about her, you know, all I could think about is really Desi. Like, you know, like, I know she knows something is going on. She just know, like, you know, and that brings it back to being so hurt just for her, honestly. Like, just knowing the pain that I know that she feels, heartbroken. That's her mother, like, and just knowing the type of mother Dayami was with her is even more hard, like, to deal with. Like,
I have this question to ask you. How do you feel about the person or persons who took her life and they are not arrested?
I'm very angry. I'm trying to forgive, but I'm very angry at the person, even though I don't think it was meant potentially for Dayami. It's just like, it's so nonsense type of stuff. I'm just mad at the fact that it led up to people having to shoot and not knowing who they're shooting. Like, you know, like, it was just so nonsense. It's like, it just makes me angry at that person. Yeah, I do want to see him behind bars. Yeah, I wished bad stuff on him. I did, if you know. But I mean, it just makes me very angry, and to know that he's still around, walking around, and he has a child or anything, like, you know, it's very frustrating and angry, and it just makes you want to do stuff. But I'm going to leave it there.
What would you say to him? Or I don't know why we keep saying him, but what would you say to the person if you had the opportunity?
I can't say nothing. I honestly can't even say nothing. It's just messed up. Like, I don't even want to say no. I'm physical.
So, and we know physical is not the way. But would you
right.
say, okay, so coming up, you know, we live in Compton. Coming up, you are, how old are you again? 20-something. Coming up in Compton, you know, the story has always been, I don't want to say your age, but coming up in Compton, and you know, the street code, you don't tell on nobody. You don't snitch on nobody. With you seeing Dayami life taken senselessly, do you have that mindset?
No, I don't have that mindset. Anybody, like, and that goes for anybody that get killed, just out the, like, senseless shooting and kids getting killed. Anybody that, I don't feel like that snitching stuff. No, that's out. Like, if I knew this person, like, I would have been going the same night to take the detectives to this person. Like, you know, I don't feel like that snitching stuff should be in anybody's head, like, about not letting people know about who did this, because there wasn't no reason for anybody to have got shot or killed. Like, and for people to be going around the hood about that snitching stuff, oh, well, call me a snitch. I'm going to be a snitch for my best friend. That's what it is. Like, but, no, I don't follow that code. That's out.
Would you say that now when you see, if you, you know, watch the news, you hear about people getting killed and young people, would you say that you're more sensitive to that now? It touches you in a different way than before living day on me?
Yeah, it does. It does touch me in a different way, especially when I hear that it's a shooting cause. Like, you know, I'm very sensitive to that type of stuff. Like, to the point I don't even really watch the news after seeing everything. I'm tired of the news, because knowing that my best friend was on the news, it's like, I don't even want to see that. I don't want to see no kind of news. I don't want to see nobody getting shot. I just, yeah, it's very sensitive, and it's, yeah, I can't say no more.
This show, as Coach D said, every week, to be transparent with you, to express how I feel, the emotions that come up. This is an everyday life for me. The hour that I spend on this radio show could never truly tell the 24 hours I have in every day to sometimes wake up and pray that this is a dream, and when I wake up it's the reality. Or I think yesterday my thoughts was when I first found out. It's like you can't never get that day out of your head. I don't know, Tiffany, if you feel the same way, because I remember Tiffany was the one, she sent her mom to my front door to tell me, but Tiffany ended up on the phone, and I remember I asked her specific questions, but she didn't want to answer. She didn't give me the straight out answers, and I didn't find out till I got to the hospital that Dayami had passed. I think Tiffany didn't know at that time either. Until I found out. You didn't find out until I found out, right, Tiffany?
Right.
Or you had a, I guess you had a clue that something was wrong, though?
Yeah, I had a clue because of the situation on the way there and stuff, but I didn't know for sure.
So this, it may not seem like it when I cry on here, but it really, really helped me deal with it, to be able to talk, to be able to express how I feel. And to have Tiffany on tonight, I am so grateful that she can even talk about it. You know, like she said, Tiffany was at my house every single day. They talked on the phone all day long. So I can't imagine what she's going through, because that was her best friend. I have never lost a best friend. I lost my daughter. But I feel her pain. And her boyfriend was also on the bus. And, you know, let me back up a little bit, because that night after I was told that they kept everybody on the bus, they had you guys. Can you tell me about that part that you know?
Oh, they didn't. I don't know about that part. DeJuan
does.
I left with Dayami. I didn't stay.
So everybody can understand, but so I can make the audience understand who's listening in. So Dayami was on a party bus. There were, what, 30 to 40 people on this party bus?
Yeah, about 40 or maybe a little more, yeah.
So everybody was on different parts of the bus. So when you hear Tiffany say she don't know certain parts, that's why, because everybody was sitting in different parts of the bus. Tiffany ended up riding with Dayami, but some were still on the bus, and the police detained them and asked them questions to 2, 3 in the morning, if not later.
Right.
So for anyone who has followed my daughter's story, so when you hear someone say or hear a part of the story where they don't know, it's not that they're lying. It's just that they were on different sections of the bus. And if anyone has been on the party bus.
Right. Some people went to the bathroom, didn't know, and some people was in the back of the bus. Some people were still trying to get on, some getting off. So everybody played a different role in the situation on this bus. Like the bus.
And there were no windows where you couldn't see out the bus, correct?
Right. It was blackout, like a darker than a limo, actually. And then, you know, a bus is higher, so they had, like, a curtain kind of covering everything, too. So, yeah, it was dark.
So, I would say to the audience, please continue to keep everyone that was on that bus in prayer, because everyone experienced something. And there was another young lady who was shot in the face. I think she was shot in the chin, and I believe another person was shot. I think it was a total of, was it three or four people that were shot, Tiffany?
Yeah, I think it was like three.
Okay, yes. So not only was my daughter was the only person who lost her life, but, you know, other people were injured as well. And I guess some people have overlooked what happened to them because my daughter's life was taken, but those victims have also experienced something as well. So I would ask that we all keep their families in prayer as well. Miss Tiffany, before we got on the show, so we can laugh a little bit, you were telling me about Dayami and a spider.
Dayami is scared of spiders. It could be the smallest spider. She's going to scream to the top of her lungs. So this particular night, me and her was on the phone. It must have been a spider hanging from the ceiling, and it dropped down in her face. And all I heard was Dayami scream so loud and saying, "I'm not about to move, I'm not about to move." And then she called her little brother that's also scared of spiders. Like, she is serious of spiders. And then the bad part about it, I used to call her Daddy Long Legs because she had them long old legs. So I'd be like, "Come here, Daddy Long Legs." And she's like, "I am not a spider. I hate them."
I asked Tiffany to tell this story about the spiders, because this is how we deal with the loss of Dayami. We deal with the beautiful memories, the funny memories, some of the memories that did hurt her. That's how we cope with losing Dayami. That we still tell the stories. We share pictures back and forth. My daughter,
video,
me and her,
everything.
We have long toes. And I think I told Tiffany one day, I said, "Man, I wish I could see her feet." Tiffany sent me a picture of her toes. the little thing. So this is how we cope day to day with not having Dayami here.
Right.
She didn't eat meat. Her going to
Chipotle asking for a veggie burrito with no veggies. Or going to El Pollo Loco for BRC, right? Beans, rice, and cheese. That's what that's called. BRC. She craves stuff like potato tacos and stuff. Because she don't eat meat. She crazy.
So
but
that, this
just
is,
to be able to know
this
her.
This is how we deal. Yeah. This is how we deal. So when you see the families that have lost someone and you wonder how are their lives, we deal with it hour by hour. You laugh at the great memories. You hang on to the memories. And I think I may speak for a lot of families. I think we try to hold anything that's attached to that person. If it's a shirt they wore, if it's a hat they wore, certain things you want to latch on to and you don't want to let it go. I purchased a shed, an 8x10 shed, and I put all my daughter belongings in there because I told myself I'm going to save it for her daughter. But lately I've been thinking I need to start getting rid of some of that stuff because I've come to realize it's not going to bring her back. I have the special things that I'm holding for her so her daughter can have them, you know, videos so her daughter can hear her mom's voice, pictures, certain clothes and jewelry, and my daughter likes to write. So I kept her journal so her daughter will be able to read the silly ways her mother is. And then I also had an idea about writing a book just for her daughter and, like, having Tiffany write a chapter in there so she would be able to read about her mom and see who her mom is. I didn't lose my mother at a young age, so I am concerned how will this affect Desi. How would this affect my granddaughters? Dayami was very close to her nieces. How would that affect all of us? See?
I'm sorry, Minister Tamika. Can you repeat that question, please?
No, it wasn't really a question. I guess I was asking you to elaborate because when we lose someone, it's so many people affected by this. And I didn't lose my mother at a young age, so I'm always concerned about how will her daughter deal with this. When do you tell her daughter was two when she passed? What age do you tell a child that your mom passed?
You know, that's a hard one because it's obvious. I think you tell them as soon as they're able to understand, and the reason for that is because you want them to know, you want them to be able to be okay with it and not have a bunch of issues. Because I think what happens is when we as adults, we are so busy trying to protect the child that we don't realize that in us protecting them, we're hurting them. Because if they don't know, and then later they get older, whether you know, a teenager or adult, they become angry because it's like, why didn't you tell me? Because I think they can process it better than we think. But if I don't know, that's just like when people get adopted or you know, their parent gave them away or something like that. If she don't know that her mom passed, her perception is going to be is, why did my mom want me? Why is my mom not around?
So those are things I'm concerned with.
It's important that from the time she's able to fully carry a conversation with you and she could kind of comprehend, I think it would be important to be able to let her know, you know, wherever, however you want to present that, mommy's in heaven or mommy's, you know, with, you know, if you're teaching her about God, that would probably be the most comfortable way, is, you know, mommy's in heaven with God. And, you know, and I don't know if I would say, I don't know at that young age if I would tell the details of how that happened. I think that might be too much at that young age, but definitely letting her know how much of, you know, whatever videos you have of her mom when you guys were acting silly, Tiffany, you got a bunch of videos with you and her mom. Being able to show her those videos where she could see her mom and constantly reaffirming to her that her mom loved her, she was crazy about her, and she wanted her so much, and you know, it was her, you know, about her difficult birth and how her mom slept at the hospital day in and day out. She needs to hear those stories. She needs to know that her mama loved her, and that her mom loved her so much. And you guys have to keep pushing and keep reaffirming that to her, so that it's never any doubt in her mind that her mother had a choice to leave her, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I have three other granddaughters, and we had to have that talk because they're at an age where they understand. And they are coping pretty good because they do understand heaven. She's there. And I have, Naomi was cremated, so I have an urn at home with her picture on it. So when they come in the house sometimes, it's just automatic that they're, you know, they speak, good morning, Thea D, or they'll go and talk to it, talk to the urn, you know, telling her about their day. So, and they handle this pretty good. Sorry about that. I think Tiffany, it was, it's been a pleasure having you on here. I applaud you for your strength to even, you know, talk about, not the deep details, but, you know, talk about how it happened, how you're coping and dealing with. How would you say Dewan is dealing with? This is Tiffany's boyfriend. He was really close with Naomi as well. They address each other as sister and brother. How would you say that Dewan is dealing with it?
You know what? I think Dewan has the mindset of being strong for me and you as well. So it's like he have his moments, but he have them alone. Like, I never know when he's thinking about Naomi until I see a post on her Facebook. Like, and, like, I'll probably mention her, like, man, I miss her, man. Like, you know, or say something about him. He's like, man, I know I miss her too. But, you know, he don't really talk about it. Like, he'll probably express himself like on her Facebook or something like that. Like, but he never say anything because I know he know how I feel about it. Like, I dare never say something every day like I miss her or looking at her pictures. I'm going through her album on my phone. Like, you know, because she has her own album on my phone. So he just know to be strong for me. So I think that's what it is. He don't want to trigger me to be so sad all the time and stuff like that. Cause, yeah.
Okay. I also want to ask if we have any callers out there that have any questions at this time. You may be able, you can push one if you have any questions or a comment or would like to say anything.
Any callers that will have a question, if you just dial one on your dial pad, that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. You don't have to announce yourself. You could be completely anonymous on the call. It's totally up to you. Okay. We don't have any questions.
Me and Tiffany always say that we are a one-man show because we can be silly and entertain one another. And we don't
right.
need an audience.
That's how it was for me with Naomi. Like, sure, you can do
well, we
it.
Do
I'm
have
fine
a question.
With just us.
We do have a question. Yes, caller. Oh. Area code 323, last four, 6141. You are live on Cheek to Cheek.
Hello, Sister Tamika. I just want you to know that I'm always thinking about you. This is your sister, Sylvia. You invited me to the show this evening, and I've been listening. I wanted to cry. I wanted to laugh, and I really enjoyed the show. So mine wasn't
Thank
so
you,
much
Sylvia.
A question. I just want you to know that I'm there. I'm here with you, and I am a true friend.
Oh, I know you are. Sylvia, we went to school together. We ended up in church together. Sylvia lost her child. How old was your baby?
3.5 months. He was 3.5 months old. He died at 6. So I know, even though he wasn't here that long, but I understand that we all have a purpose to be here.
Amen.
You're not promised. We all a gift. So we just like driving is a privilege, so is our children.
Amen, Sylvia. Thank you so much for calling in. I truly appreciate it.
Okay, I'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay, you have a good evening.
And you do the same. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. God bless.
Amen. Hello. Amen. Okay, well, we don't have any more questions, Minister Tamika, so I'm going to let you close out.
Well, thank you again for tuning in to Cheek to Cheek. Once again, I'm your host, Minister Tamika Dela Cruz. We thank you so much, Tiffany, for joining us tonight. Always remember, pray. If you don't have nothing else to do, if you don't have nobody to reach out to or talk to, pray. Please pray. I have a Facebook page. You're able to message me on there. I respond pretty quickly. So thank you once again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Have a good evening.